Well, Shabbat Shalom, that's working. Let's see if this is going to work. And looks like we're all working. So we'll start one more time. Shabbat Shalom. Was that on the right angle for you?
Okay. I appreciate that.
Well, we are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chal B'Mashiach. We're still blowing the trumpet, trying to summon the congregation, and we know they're out there somewhere. They're just not here. But we are a little piece of the Israel of God, and I mean a little piece. But we are. Yes, we are. Shabbat Shalom again. This is our second Sabbath. So, would you mind standing and we'll pray and ask God to bless today. Heavenly Father, Master, Creator of all things, we come to you today humbly asking you to always cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot. We thank you, Lord and God, through you there is forgiveness of sins. Bless and anoint this day. We thank you, Lord, for the understanding you give us with the feast and this day today, and the joy you give us to even to know you, to know that you're the living God and there's none else. Bless this day. Bless everything we do. Bless the study. Let everyone digest something new or understand something new. And for all the people that will hear it in the future, let them tune in, Lord and God. Give them hungry hearts like we have, curious hearts that we desire the truth. And take away anything that's incorrect, anything that's not right. Bless and anoint this study today and this Shabbat in Yeshua's name. We just thank you we could be here again. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Yeah, it's an interesting thing that time just waits for no one. And here it is, the 29th of September, as they call it. Tomorrow is the last day of the month already. Even that, where did September go? And it's the 2013. And even God's month is flying away. It's the 22nd day already of Ha'etanim, which means the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last forever. You know, the everlasting, ever-flowing streams. And isn't that interesting? Time just goes quick. That's the way it is. And you guys know about Ha'etanim, so I'm not going to read all that to you again. Of course, I'm sure people still today are calling it Tishrei, a new year, which is ridiculous, when God says it's the feast at the end of the year, at the end of the harvest. You guys know all that already, and probably can't say it enough on Facebook, right? But I'm sure we do. Here's all my studies, too. All my studies may be viewed at these websites. I was on the mic. Okay. Can you guys hear me on Pal Talk? Can you guys hear me on Pal Talk? I hope. Looks like you could. So anyway, these are all the studies right here. We're going to be editing some of the studies soon, but there's some things that we're correcting to. Punctuation and spelling errors and things, links that are dead and, you know, things of that nature. I might change some other websites too that are, you have to change the text, you know, turn it to Hebrew text because some of the, it's not working on some people's computers. But anyway, here's all the studies at the moment. You can read them, which most people, I don't know if they do. And here you can listen to them. And, of course, nowadays you could watch them. So that's that. And then there's also another link that you could download them to your MP3 players. That's my MP3SHTM. You could download them, okay? That one, you could download all the studies and put them on your MP3 players, your iPods, or your iPhones, or your whatever you have, okay? Of course, we're on Pal Talk right now, and you can always download that. I get a lot of people... I get to talk to a lot of people during the week, you know. I say a lot, you know, to me it's a lot, just people that call. And I do get some people on Pal Talk, believe it or not, and they still don't come in the room. I get people that call me up, even I think last week said they were coming this week, and they never show up. So anyway, we continue on. I don't know what to say about it. We're on Facebook. I don't know what success that is bringing. It seems like it's just a big argument. And there's a million opinions and a million different ways of looking at everything. And everybody wants to debate everything. That doesn't seem like exciting to me. But we continue on that also. Today's the eighth day. It's a Sabbath. Obviously, you know, driving here today, I was telling my wife, it is sort of quiet out there, you know. And I think these people are just home after a hangover from the Saturday, or they coming home from their pagan Sunday church. But today's actually a real Sabbath of God. It's the eighth day. It's the last day, the great day, the holy convocation. It's a solemn assembly, and it's solemn in the respect that we're here to honor God and just come here at His times, at His moedim, His way of doing everything. And of course, these are the scriptures we always read again, Leviticus 23. And it's amazing that God would speak unto the children of Israel. He says to them, "Speak unto the children of Israel, Moses. The 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Jehovah." So He's talking about Himself, okay? "On the first day you shall have a holy convocation," which we did. "You shall do no servile work therein," right? We did that. "And 7 days, so 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. We offer praise and thanks to God every day." We thank God every day for, you know, that we could even know about His feast and why we're doing it. And then it says, "On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you. You shall offer an offering made by fire," again, you know, we do. We praise and thank God. It's a solemn assembly. "You shall do no servile work therein." We're not going to work today. We're not going to do anything that in our minds thinking that we're going to do some work. I mean, you know, we do manage our lives, however. You know, I make sure that we come here clean, and we make sure that we have clean stuff to eat out of, and we don't, you know, make a big sloppy pig pen, because that's not holy either. But at the same time, we don't go out of our way to do anything extraordinary today. However, "These are the feasts of Jehovah, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations." And we do. We even have a sign up. And I wish we had a sign up over here. But people are not really invited to come to these feasts, because we'd like them to come either before it or after it so we can explain it in detail. It says, we're going to proclaim them to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah, a burnt offering. This is what they used to do, a burnt offering, meat offering, sacrifice, drink offerings upon His day. So it wasn't when you feel like it. Everything was spelled out specific on a certain day, okay? And that's what we try to do our best. You know, we don't just have the... We don't, you know, like the other... Recently, people are still telling us, "I do my Sabbath on Tuesday." I mean, and that is a true statement in itself, because they're doing their Sabbath. We're doing God's Sabbath on His times. And this is all these things that we do. This is besides the Sabbaths of Jehovah, all the other ones, and besides your gifts that you give God, and besides all your vows, and besides all your free will offerings, which you give unto Jehovah, when you offer up your praise and thanks to God. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, He says it again, which we did this, of course. We went and gathered, we don't gather in the fruit of the land. We don't have any. "You shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. On the first day is a Sabbath, and on the eighth day is a Sabbath." And that's where we are today, believe it or not. We're at the end of everything. Isn't that strange? Everything goes so quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It says, "You shall take unto you the first day." We did it on the first day. "Boughs of goodly trees," and we took branches of palm trees, and we went out there and got boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook, and we rejoiced before Jehovah with our brothers and sisters on the internet, in our sukkah, right? It says, "And you should keep it on a feast unto Jehovah 7 days in the year. It's a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month," not in New Year's, okay? Not New Year, it's the seventh month. "And you shall dwell in booths," which we dwelled in booths every day, all that are Israelites born, and we are all born again Israelites, and we dwelled in booths. And we wish a lot of people would have came and talked to us, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Jehovah your God. You know, God talks about that so often about when he brought you out of the land of Egypt. And sometimes we don't really give it enough thought. It was a mighty thing he did. I mean, with the biggest empire at the time, you know, Egypt, an amazing place, amazing. And Pharaoh, you know, the emperor, he's like the king of the world there. And God sent him 10 plagues and all the things that went on. It's amazing. That's why he's always saying that we're supposed to remember these things, that God brought you out of the land of Egypt. And so to speak, spiritually in our lives, it's an amazing thing that we came from all different lives. And it could be from the most drastic, whatever you think drastic is, it was all drastic. So it doesn't matter if you thought being smashed out in the projects, shooting up, robbing and killing everybody and being a whore, it's not different than the lady that went to church on Sunday every day of the week. It's all terrible. And there's no difference when I look at it, and I'm sure that's the way God looks at it, because it's all, he doesn't recognize anyone. So it's not like one is worse than the other. Maybe in the eyes of the world, morally, they're thinking that, but in God's eyes, mm-mm. Anyway, see, I put her here. It says, we did it. We did it again. Praise God. So we actually did the everyone built our sukkah again. We did it. I mean, you know, you might think to yourself, you know, we're only here, you know, the few of us. We don't have to be the ones here. God could have selected someone else. I'm sure you have other people in your family, or you might know a friend that could have been here in your place. And you could be still out there lost. I don't even know what I'd be doing today. Probably be, who knows, if I'm still alive. I don't know. In the book of Numbers, you know, we see again in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, we did this. We had the holy convocation. We did the memorial of blowing the trumpets, right? We actually blew the trumpets, and we understand why we're doing it and what it has to do with the second coming of the Messiah. We do this all in rehearsal. If you don't know what you're doing, it, you know, some people are just blowing a trumpet. I mean, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, because there's a lot of people blowing trumpets every day in bands. But, I mean, we have to know why we're doing this. It's good to, the Bible says, it's good to do things with understanding. You know, if you don't do things with understanding, then it's just you're doing the carnal practice that becomes, it's vain. If you don't have the spiritual understanding of why you're doing this, what are we doing this for? It says on the 10th day we did the same thing. We know why we do the Day of Atonement, because we believe that's the day the Lord might be back, and you better be atoned before that, because there's no more forgiveness. And that's the way it is in every day of our life. We try to make sure we're always asking God for forgiveness. I'm constantly asking God to forgive me, because I can honestly say I don't sin presumptuously, premeditated, like I, you know, I'm going to go knowingly something's wrong and go do it. Now, I know there's things that are probably ignorantly we do that we're not sure. So we always ask God to forgive us of those things. And we did this, the Day of Atonement. We make sure we're always atoned through the blood of the Messiah, not through anything else. And on the 15th day, we did the Feast of Tabernacles, right? And it's over now. It's terrible. We did it for 7 days. And on the eighth, and here we are on the verse 35 on the last day. It says, the eighth day, it's a solemn assembly. You should do no civil work therein. It's a Shabbaton, or Sabbath. It's a rest. Okay? Somehow I'm... Okay, good. Technology sometimes gets right. Isn't that amazing? And we're doing a solemn assembly today. You know, it's a sacred or festive meeting. It's an assemblage. You know, it's a day of, again, of congregating. It's not a day of sitting in your house and, you know, just being all alone and just being separate. It's a day to get together. Atzeret. Atzeret. That's what that solemn assembly is. And of course, again, we do it at the Moad, you know, the Moadah, the Moadim, the appointed times of Jehovah. And I put all these words here for you from all different lexicons and places. And, you know, if you read some of them, it's just amazing. It's just, like, I'll read this Moad to you. It's an appointment. It's actually a fixed time or season. It's not any time. It's actually a specific time. It's a place, a meeting. It's a signal. It's something, it's a place, an assembly, a congregation, a feast. It's an appointment. It's a sign. It's a tent of meeting. It's a place where you're actually, you know, it has so much meaning, that one word, because it's used a lot of different ways in the Bible. But I'm sure you get the meaning of it, right? In other words, we don't have the eighth day any time we feel like it in any place, and we don't do it alone. We don't do it. We all try to get together. And you guys know by now what a Mikra Kodesh is, right? It's basically the same thing. It's a calling out. It's a convoking. It's a reading. It's a public meeting. And it's set apart to the God of Israel. That's why we're here. We try to do things that God says, and we set this apart to God. And, of course, we did the Chagag, which is a actual feast. It's actually something that goes around in a circle. You know, it's something that comes every year, like you're doing something in rehearsal, until one day it's going to be over. You know, and there's the words for that. And one thing that's important, God says his Sabbaths is a sign, which is really important, an oath. Okay, it's like in the sense of appearing, a signal, literally or figuratively, like a flag, a beacon, a monument, evidence, a mark, distinguishing mark, a banner, a resemblance, miraculous sign, a warning, token, ensign, a standard, you know. So it's a sign, the Sabbath. It's really important. I was thinking about that last night. I was listening to one of my own studies, and I was reading, of course, I was reading the Bible, and maybe it was this morning. It said God actually gave us his Sabbath. It's like a special thing. I mean, at one time we didn't even know about it, right? And to some people, it's just nothing. In 31 of Exodus, we see it says, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths." And this is what a lot of Seventh-day Adventists miss. There's more than the weekly Sabbath. So that means they're sinning because they're listening to Ellen White, and she's dead. And they don't know about all the other Sabbaths, the seven other Sabbaths in the holy days of God. It says, "These Sabbaths you shall keep. It's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Jehovah that doth sanctify you." You know, and it's pretty straightforward. "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it's holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. Whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people." Any work. So there's nobody going to convince me to go to work today in any sort, manner, or kind. Or, you know, if they said, "I got $1 million for you, come and help me dig this ditch." I'm not doing it. Right. I mean, you know, I know that. So you know that. That would be presumptuous. And you know what's interesting, too, is this is a scare. I used to read this all the time in our congregation, and people used to look at me like they were like scared, because it says you should surely be put to death. Now, no one's going to go kill anybody today, but you are in danger because you still have transgressed God's covenant and his commandments, and if you happen to expire today, you'd be in danger of eternal fire. Isn't that amazing? Because that little thing called sin, which is a scary little word. Look at what it says right here. "Whosoever doth any work shall be cut off." You know, if you cut something off, it's no longer there. It's severed off, right? You're not a part anymore. You're in your own world. And then God says again, "6 days may work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to Jehovah. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death." And that's a pretty amazing thing. "Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant." So the Sabbath is a perpetual covenant in itself. And it's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Isn't that beautiful? It's a sign. God has put a sign on us that we keep the Sabbath. 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So we're a sign of the creation of God and a sign of the seventh day of resting. We're a sign. We're actually, people look at us and they go, they are different. What are they doing there, those crazy, they call us the crazy Jews, right? Sabbath is a sign. We read this in Numbers, the 15th day, right? So the 15th day is the first day. We went and got all our trees and everything like that, right? Then on the second day, I noticed there was 12 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without spot. I've done this study a few times before, and this isn't going to be a long study today, but to show you that the Sabbath really is a sign, this is sort of a signal to us. Here's the third and fourth day. We have 11 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without blemish. And the fourth day we have 10 bullocks. Notice how the bullocks keep going down, right? We have 10 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, and of the first year without blemish. When I think of that, just that one sentence, that just shows me they had to have an abundance of animals. And they had to make sure they were of the first year. They had to have a lot of animals reproducing there. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a lot. A lot going on there. And the fifth day, there's 9 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without spot. And they had to be without spot. That's another big part of the equation. And then the sixth day, there's 8 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs, first year without blemish, right? And then the seventh day, there's supposed to be 7 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without blemish. So that's a lot of lambs there, 14 every day, isn't it? And then, of course, the rams, too. And on the eighth day, which is today, it's a solemn assembly. You're not supposed to do any of this stuff. They had a real feast. That's a lot. Yeah, that was a big feast. Yeah, I mean, if you could, our feast would seem more like a feast if we had a majority of people, you know, a bunch of people doing it, you know, and people being happy and singing and, you know, simcha, joy, and we'd all be thinking we were in the midst of a feast. Just that the world's getting ready to do all the pagan feasts. I mean, that's how crazy the world is. So I just did a little math last time and wanted to rehearse this for you. You know, I counted up the bullocks. There's 70 bullocks. And there was 98 lambs of the first year without blemish. That's a lot. And there was 14 rams, right? And so we got 70, 98, 14, comes to 182. These are all divisible by 7. And you can multiply the rams all over the place. It's still going to be divisible by 7. Right? Also in the verses, there was meat offerings, which is a pretty amazing thing. I mean, besides all those animals, they had to have meat offerings, and that doesn't mean meat means wheat and barley and stuff like that, of fine flour mingled with oil. 3 tent deals unto every bullock of the 13 bullocks, right? And 2 tent deals to each ram of the 2 rams, right? And several tent deal to each lamb of the 14 lambs. That's a lot of things going on there. And a lot of people think, every time I read this, I had a friend one time, a long time ago, he said to me, I was telling him about the things of God. He goes, stop telling me, you're giving me too much to do. Imagine if we had to do that. Imagine if we had to do any of that. It says, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering. So we have 3 tent deals, 70 bullocks, there is the number, 2 tent deals, 90 times 98 rams, 7 tent deals, there's that. So we add those all together, and believe it or not, it all boils down to 420, which you can take off the zero, and it goes down to 42, which is divisible by 7, and the 42 is divisible by 7 in the 6 days creation that I see. no matter what you do. So if you don't think this is a sign, or now I was trying to think one day, is this just a coincidence with numbers? No. Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing the way it all comes out. And this is besides all the continual burnt offerings, the continual burnt offerings. Are you listening? This is beside all the continual burnt offerings, meat offerings thereof, and the drink offerings, which are also divisible by seven. So what I'm trying to get at is the Sabbath, number seven, is very important, and it really is a sign. And unfortunately, this is at the end, this is the end of the fall feasts and holy days of the year, okay? It's not the new year. When we discuss these things above with people, it causes division. I don't know if you've noticed that. I have. Remember, Messiah always brings division in families, friends, peers. Fret not. And the book of Luke says, suppose you that I am come to give peace on the earth. Do you suppose that? He says, I tell you, nay. No, but rather I'm here to bring division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided. This is just an example. Three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter. I mean, he's trying to give all these combinations. I mean, they're not all here, but it says the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. I'm sure the husband against the kid and the kid against... I mean, it could be any combination. So this division, when you look up that word, if you ever looked up that word division, besides in math, it actually means a parting. You're departing from someone, or you're parting away. A disunion. A dissension. You know, you're separating yourself from the other people, like you're supposed to. Book of Micah, it all comes from, all the verses in the Gospels. It says, for the son dishonors his father, the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies, believe it or not, are going to be the people of your own house. Really? Now, I'm sure that you guys can all relate to that. And that's a strong word, too. They're called enemies. Okay? Of course, Matthew records it. He says, the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father the child. The father's going to deliver up the child. And the children are going to rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. That's how much you got to be careful. And the real brothers and sisters and your real family are the people of God. It says, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now that's not, I know a lot of people read that all the time, but that's a real important thought right there. You're going to be hated of all people for my name's sake. And it's an enduring contest. The ones that endure to the end shall be saved. Not for 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. To the end either of your life or the end of the world. So you have to do it until the end. You have to think when you get persecuted, they did the same thing to Messiah. Because the servant is not greater than his Lord. Right? So I've already come across a lot of those kind of things. I'm sure you have too. The brother shall betray the brother to death. That's a pretty big betrayal right there. And the father's going to actually turn in his son. And the children are going to rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. These are the ones that you think you love you. You got to remember, the devil is having a ball with them. And you might think you love them, but Satan has them. They are likely to do anything at any time. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But you got to endure to the end and you'll be saved. Yes. In other words, you got to make a stand. You got to. No. I could honestly say I trust you guys. I don't trust anybody in my family, no matter how nice they are. That's because they could turn on me like that, because Satan has them. Yeah. You may not, you might go, well, I don't know. No, Satan's got them. No matter how cute and lovely they are. Yeah. If Satan doesn't have them, they'd be with us, with God. It says, and you shall be betrayed both by parents, the ones you think you love, and brethren, the one you think you love, and sisters, kinsfolk, and even your friends. And some of you, they shall cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Just like everyone hated the Messiah. He says, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. And this is really important. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Remember, wherever Yeshua goes, it says, there was division among the people because of him. He always brought division because he brought what was right, and that divides the light from the darkness. And we have to constantly be dividing the light from the darkness, like it says in Genesis. Believe me, that's a message right in itself, dividing the light from the darkness. I know it's not the most pleasant thing because there's many shades of darkness out there. And some of them don't seem so bad, and some of them seem drastic, but they're all darkness. That's the only thing that you have to think about. Here is the stand you need to make, and this is the extreme, okay? Now, if this is talking about anyone that would come and try to take you away from the God of Israel, if a man come to, he says, a man or a woman comes to the Messiah, and you don't hate, it says, and you hate not your father and your mother and your wife and children and brethren and sisters and even your own life that's trying to turn you away from the God of Israel, you cannot be his disciple. That means because they're trying to steal your eternal life. Satan in them is trying to steal your eternal life. You're looking at them as your relative, but it's really the devil trying to steal your eternal life. And it says, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be to my disciple. Now you might go, well, I haven't bore any crosses lately, but I feel like I bear the cross. In other words, I'm left all alone in my life, which is drastic to me. And most people don't want to deal with us anymore or talk to us, really. Some people tolerate us a little bit, you know. Some people don't. Some people are always calling us names and accusations when they didn't look in the mirror. They're the ones in a cult. They're the ones that come from like Mormonism and Catholicism and all these other isms. That's the biggest cults in the world. Drastic. Jehovah's Witnesses, yeah. Yeshua says, these things have I spoken unto you that you shouldn't get offended. So don't get offended at Yeshua's words if he's telling you these things, okay? You know, and they have a lot of people go to the AA, you know, the God of your conscience or whatever it is, the God of your mind or something like that. The God as you understand him, that's satanic. That's a satanic thought, actually. But you can't get offended. You cannot get offended at the words of God because he says these things are going to happen to us. So, you know, I always say it in a sort of a humorous way. You know, we're not going to win any popularity contests, right? Well, I don't think we're going to win any kind of favoritism with lots of people. You have to sort of learn how to sidestep the devil and get in. Yeah. You have to make a stand. And that doesn't just mean today. It's until the end. So beware. Because remember, Satan doesn't come, like I always say, with the red jumpsuit on and the horns. He comes as your beautiful little person that you just love, and then all of a sudden the fangs come out and the spiders and the devil is really there. He comes as your friend. How do you think? Like Yeshua says, my own familiar friend has lifted up his heel against me. Yeah. Familiar friend, yeah. Anyway, that's the end of the study. Ha'etanim, this is the 22nd day. We only got like a week left of Ha'etanim. And soon it's going to be rain, which comes from the word bul, the eighth month. That's 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 38. It's not Cheshvan or Mar Cheshvan. It's called Bul. That's another thing we'll be correcting shortly in Judaism. So I hope you got something out of this study. We do these things again as in memorial and also in as in a rehearsal of the second coming of Messiah. And we do these things with all understanding. And it's just, they're serious verses. You know, a lot of people read the Gospels like they're just the big fun and games. But if you really stop and think of every sentence Yeshua says, it's very strong medicine. And it's very powerful. So I'm going to stop here, and I hope you got something out of this. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you again for your holy word. We thank you that you'll give us more understanding. Let it seep into our minds, our hearts, and our souls. And I pray you'll bless the rest of this Sabbath, this special eighth day. Give us more understanding on it. And we pray that you'll send down the watchers and some holy ones, and that they will come and correct us and show us more purely the way of God, that we could make straight the way of the Lord. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint everything we do today, the singing, the food, the fellowship, the study, the reading. I just thank God we could be here together with the few people you've given us here. And may we get more brothers and sisters. And I thank God that we have a place to come to. Bless everyone today. I pray you'll rejuvenate us spiritually and physically. Give us health and strength to our bodies and minds and clear thinking and the mind of Messiah. God bless everyone in Yeshua's name, and the fall feasts are coming to a close, and the last day is today. May God bless you today. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We will be taking down our sukkahs tomorrow, and then we have to just, unless it's going to start raining, looks like it's getting a little... I know everyone's getting ready for the pagan feasts and the pagan holidays. Anyway, I'm going to say God bless. Let me get off the recording. Shabbat Shalom to everyone out there. Get on oneofmessiah.net. Call us anytime. And I'm going to stop the audio.